When the series began, very few people on the surface of the planet were aware of it. But very soon the program began to have a positively intoxicating effect on a substantial number of life forms, many of them remarking on how they thought some of the metaphysical imagery was particularly effective. But of all these humanoids, reptiloids, fishoids, walking treoids, and super-intelligent shades of the color blue, one man in particular was to prove crucial to our story. In order that some sense of mystery be preserved, no revelation will yet be made as to that person's exact identity.
I've got a radar in every single room in the house, including one of those waterproof ones in the shower, and I think I'd turned it on quite inadvertently and was immediately gripped, because I thought it was verbally witty and dexterous and full of philosophical jokes, and I'm a sucker for philosophical jokes. But he had also a trick of sort of extrapolating something in a completely rational way to a point of madness. And then you would scratch your head and scratch your bum and think, well, what exactly is the intellectual trick that has been played upon you? Because inference by inference, everything makes sense, but you get to a point of surreal absurdity. So that greatly appealed to me. And I thought, here is a chap with a real talent. This is verbally inventive and dexterous. And if he can do this on the radio, he can do it on the page.
The man in question was, in fact, Nick Webb, a really together guy who definitely knew where his towel was, and who, improbable as it may seem, just happened to be an editor of that pan-dimensional, pan-galactic publishing corporation of Pan Books. And instinctively he recognised GPP, or Genuine Publishing Potential, when he heard it.
So what I had to do was to take the idea to an editorial meeting and sell Pan Books on the notion. And they were persuaded, obviously, but it wasn't a terribly big deal for Pan Books that at that time, I think, was just acquiring Jackie Collins for a sum that looked like the population of a Far Eastern country. And then I haggled, but it wasn't for a lot of money. I'm trying to remember, but it was pretty, you know, it wasn't a very extravagant deal.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy was, in fact, a gargantuan success and quite caught the public imagination of the time. The response was big, really unbelievably big. Even Douglas didn't believe it.
The first real clue I got was when the book came out. Now, I mean, this is the sort of clue I got, I think, the Sunday after it came out. I'd gone out to buy the newspapers, and I came back and there was a message on my answering machine from somebody at Pan Books saying, you should have a look at the Sunday Times. So I looked at the Sunday Times and thought, is there some article she thinks I'm going to be interested in? So I flipped through, couldn't see anything that I would expect she would think would catch my eye. And then she got, you know, to the back page, I think it was in those days, the bestseller list. And I really sort of went over it just like out of curiosity as much as anything else. And I suddenly saw that Hitchhiker was the number one bestseller in the country. And that was one of those sort of moments in life when you suddenly think, you know, we're not in Kansas anymore. It was just suddenly instantaneous point at which your life flips over.